So this morning we'll take a look at the miracle of Jesus' healing in the land of Gennesaret. Now if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 14, we'll read from verses 34 to 36. We'll ask our brother Roger to read that for us. No, you don't have to.
Okay, Matthew 14, 34, and 36.
Yep.
And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out of all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched,
now, if you put your finger in that Matthew portion and turn to Mark chapter 6, we'll ask our sister Tiffany if she'll read verses 53 to 56. That's Mark chapter 6. It'd probably be a good idea to keep a finger in each account.
Chapter 6, verses 53 and 56. When it was October, they came to Gennesaret and journeyed to shore. When they had come out of the ship, they laid a and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about dead, those who were sick, and nothing. Where sick birds he was. When it was from the entered villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the street, and besought them that they might touch him, if it were
Now, I have to start off by saying that there's not a great deal of information written about this miracle. Yet, having just studied the cure of Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood, we find that this woman with the 12-year issue of blood received by touching the skirt or the hem of Jesus' garment a tremendous miracle. That miracle gave her confidence to make a good confession, as we saw, of course, in our last segment. Now, a little later in his ministry, after reading these verses, we find that Jesus came into the land of Gennesaret, which was the name of a plain southwest of Capernaum. Josephus refers to this area as having very rich soil. It's a key point here, too. Very rich soil. It's here we find that the memory of the incident with the woman and its power to convince others of salvation that was possible through the Lord Jesus Christ was clearly demonstrated when those who had knowledge of him brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many, of course, as touched were made perfectly whole. And so we find two of the Gospels repeating this story. Now, according to the Gospel of Mark, as Jesus passes through Gennesaret, just after the miracle of walking on water, this is significant. And we'll see that later on. He writes, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran through that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, or the hem of his garment, and as many as who touched him were healed. By this time, the Lord Jesus Christ had developed such a widespread reputation as someone with miraculous healing power that people throughout the entire region of Gennesaret went to great lengths to gather the sick, the lame, that they knew, and brought them to Jesus as soon as he visited their area. The Bible describes that Jesus miraculously healed every one of the many sick people he met there. He had been performing lots of miracles recently, and of course news about them had spread. People were ripe for a Messiah. They were ripe for someone different, and they saw in Jesus, perhaps, someone who was that possible Messiah. Certainly, he was different. The previous day, Jesus had miraculously fed 5,000 people with only a small amount of food from one boy's lunch. The previous night, Jesus had miraculously walked on water. So when Jesus showed up in that area, it's natural for the local people to be energized and hoping beyond hope for a cure for whatever ailed them. While Jesus was in the town of Capernaum on the Sea of Tiberias, reports of his healing power would easily have penetrated the neighboring towns and villages, including, of course, Gennesaret. When Jesus and his disciples disembarked there, they are immediately recognized, and people from all over enter and wait for them with their sick, determined to take hold of an unexpected opportunity for healing. The statement that as many as touch even just the tassel of his cloak are healed shows a mutual relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are afflicted. What's involved here is not simply material contact with Jesus' clothing, as we saw before, but the touch of faith. And this was clearly demonstrated in the account of the woman with the issue, for she would not have said anything, having not been pressed. Jesus appeared to the people as a miracle worker or a divine man whose power was released through his touch. There's a contrast here between Gennesaret and Nazareth. In Mark 6 and 21, we read that Herod made a supper, which is also translated as feast. In verse 31 of Mark 6, we read, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ and his work were taxing. There was no time for so much as to eat. Although the people in Gennesaret didn't have perfect faith in Jesus, the people here are better than those in Nazareth, whose lack of faith prevented Jesus from performing any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 tells us that he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Mark doesn't mention in his episode Jesus' preaching or teaching activity. People are in such a feverish mood of excitement, possibly, perhaps, bordering on hysteria, that they're not prepared for Jesus' ministry of the word. And so the great healer patiently bears with their limited insight and heals those who reach out to him. Indeed, the plain of Gennesaret was rich in soil, and those who were firmly planted received the healing that they yearned for. They were eagerly waiting to hear what he had to say. Alas, a new teacher in Israel, with a message that they had not heard and a manner they had not seen. The scribes and elders in their nation had none. They had no new message, and they had no manner. So what was this word? What was this word that they wanted to hear? It was a message of hope, of joy, of freedom. And it's interesting that Luke describes the lake as Gennesaret in contrast to Matthew and Mark, who refer to it as the Sea of Galilee. Gennesaret is the Greek form of the Hebrew Shinnereth, or Shinneroth, which means harp. Apparently it had a harp-like shape. So the irony here is that here was the harp of the sweet psalmist of Israel that conveyed the joyful message of life to the people, even the song of Moses and of the Lamb. An ideal, interesting, and significant environment. Seated upon the waters, the Sea of Nations, he declares the gospel message, the gospel sound, the message of hope from the God of Israel ringing over the peaceful ripples of the Sea of Shinnereth, the harp of God. Our minds naturally take us back to the harpist David as he composed and sang for Israel all of those beautiful psalms that prophetically portray the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, in suffering and in exaltation. And yet, brothers and sisters, it would be just 3 years later that this eager throng of people with the rest of the multitude would be clamoring for his death and crucifixion. They turned from him with fickle instability, for they were shallow-minded, and said, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." Now, there's also another stark contrast that might be missed with a quick reading of Matthew 14:31. In the context, we read of Peter's little faith in understanding the full power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon walking on the water, not understanding the Lord Jesus Christ in all his power, began to sink. And we compare that to the abundant faith of the townspeople that are revealed in verse 35 of that same chapter. So what we have is an example of the characteristic zeal and rashness of Peter. He had less real faith than he thought, and more zeal than his faith would justify. He was rash, he was headlong, he was impulsive, but he was really attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. But still, in all of that, he was easily apprehensive and prone to fall. He was afraid, therefore, when in danger, and sinking, cried again for help. Therefore, and by that, he was taught to learn his own character and his dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a lesson that all of us are allowed sooner or later to learn by experience. And so we're left with this question. Do you think that this incident at Gennesaret also meant to suggest that when Christ returns to the earth, there will be many waiting to have the effects of mortality removed from them so that they can be united with him in the worship of the Father? Do you want me to repeat that? Okay. Was this incident at Gennesaret, where all the people came for healing, does that also suggest that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth, there will be many waiting to have the effects of mortality removed from them so that they can be united with him in the worship of the Father? I'm done. That's the question I put out for you.
Okay. One of the it's interesting to me the touching the hem of the garment and the connection. That seems to be obvious to the woman who had an issue with blood for 12 years. which is connected to the 12-year-old monitor of gyrus. Regarding that, through the to me, that what that's saying is that the, you know, fame of him had gone abroad. And in this area, it kind of makes me wonder, we're not really told, we are told that in the healing of that woman, Jesus had come over from Decapolis, right, and was going to Capernaum, and that's where Jairus was. So, perhaps this woman was along the way. Obviously, she was along the way, but I just wondered if there's a connection maybe there between this woman being there and this miracle happening there, right? In the sense of, it's kind of like Legion, when, you know, you wanted to go, the Lord calls him, no, stay here and tell your friends and your family about, you know, what God has done for you. And the next time Jesus comes back to the Capitolist, they're there to receive him based on the witness of Legion. So perhaps the witness of this woman is what drew them, this city out.
The woman with the issue you're talking about, right?
Yeah. The woman with the issue, exactly, because the connection Scripture makes is the touching of the hem.
Yeah.
I don't think we can mistake that, but we don't see that anywhere else. You know, and to answer to your question, or at least to allude to your question, is, you know, the degree to which our neighbors, our friends will be receptive to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon the witness of what God has done for us, and how we share that with others.
More importantly, our family members. But yeah, sure. Our co-workers, those that know us more.
Yes, definitely the family, because that's what makes us whole, legion, right? And those would have been probably the only ones who would have listened to him. But the whole town turned out by the time Jesus returned to that area. And I'm just wondering, you know, if this is an expectation. The power of witnessing amongst those that we either relate to or the ones that we know, you know, what God has done, so that their hearts are more receptive to this.
Well, it's difficult to determine that, because remember, we don't know that the woman with the issue was Jairus' wife, the mother of the child. We don't know that. If she is that person, then she probably was at home with Jairus and the daughter after what they had gone through. Maybe. You know, I mean, we're not told, so it's speculation, and that,
right,
you know, is often
the woman and Jairus' daughter was 12 years, and the, you know, the death and the living dead connection is probably something that Jesus is able to get involved. But I just thought that was, you know, incredibly insightful to me, that it mentions specifically, or references, seems to me to be referencing the healing of a woman with the issue.
Yeah, I'm sure word got around.
And in my mind, what difference does that make? What, you know, why is that connection being made?
Yeah.
Well, because the people come out of drugs because of what they've heard. And you get back to your question, too, is we know that the Lord coming to the disciples in the fourth watch, you know, this speaks of his return and quelling the storm and reaching the destination. Now, John tells us that they were headed to Capernaum, but they didn't go to Capernaum. They landed in Genesaret.
Yeah.
So, and what's being made here, I think the reason why is this miracle, this healing, seemingly obscure, you know, not a whole lot there, but as you begin to look at the big picture, you can kind of see the connection to the parable that's being worked out here. And the expectation for us to share the witness for what God has done for us so that others, by the grace of God, may be more receptive to the return when he comes, based on the witness that we have made.
No, that's absolutely undisputable. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think any of us would agree to that too. That people that know us know, and that's, of course, if we witness a good witness. I mean, we can be hypocritical, get caught, and then that blows everything for you know, to people that, that may have thought, for lack of any better word, highly of us, more so than the average Joe Schmo, you know, that so we have to be careful. But yeah, I think that's reasonable to assume that. Yeah.